Christ's name, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the new year. Thank you for bringing us safe through last year. We don't take it for granted. We thank you. You have made it possible. You've given us the strength, the provision, the ability to come here today. Forgive us where we've sinned against you. Forgive me. I'm not worthy to share your word. We are not worthy to stand in your presence. But we pray that you forgive us, wash us with the blood of Jesus. Forgive me, wash me with the blood of Jesus. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Meet with us today as we gather here in your name. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. I remember we shared at the beginning of last year, those of you who remember, we had a series of messages. I think it was across two Sundays. And it's good to see that as we have prayed, God has brought us to the new year. We thank God for Calvary Chapel. We thank God that He has protected us. He has provided for us through the year. He has blessed us, okay? God has blessed us with health, with strength, and with the good things in life, with friends, with family, with children. And He has given us another year, God willing, okay, to enjoy and be part of His plan for my life and for your life. So today we continue with that theme. It is similar to the theme you studied last Sunday. The message is titled Life, God's Perspective, Part 1. And we are going to look at the journey of life because it makes sense for us, I thought, to do that as part of a beginning of year message. A year, as you see in Genesis, is part of the dimensions of time which God has created. Okay? One of the reasons God gives us time, seasons, this and that, is for man to mark his progress on this journey. Okay, so we are in a new year, 2019. Okay, and so let's see and hopefully get a better meaning of life maybe than we previously had, or just remind ourselves of those key concepts about this journey, this gift that God has given us so graciously. So looking at the journey of life, of course we've come from the Christmas season. We had a break at the end of the year. Maybe most of you have the opportunity to meet with people, enjoy the Christmas, the food, the gifts, the fellowship. And the week began, and we kind of are getting back into the routine of life, okay? The business and busyness of life, okay? Last year for me was a bit of a very busy year. We had a son, our eldest child, in P7. And in Uganda, that is a busy year if you are a parent. You know, the waking up at 5 and so on, and maybe even earlier than that, 4 a.m. to help him finish homework, and busy, okay? So maybe we are going back into that. Maybe you are in that. That's 2019 is your turn, okay? So in the midst of all this, we can get into stresses, into challenges, into uncertainties, not being sure. I mean, what's all this about? How did I get here? Why am I going through all of this? Okay? But that aside, we want to thank God for the good things that He gave us last year. Okay? Last year, there were weddings in Calvary Chapel. Because we had encouraged young people. We told them, you know, as Pastor Kenny has just said, the end is about to come. So we had encouraged the young people to marry before the what? Before the rapture. Okay? You can imagine the young lady who is just finished all her makeup, the hair, the nails, and as you're driving to church then, the rapture, okay? So anyhow, we thank God for those things. We thank God for the babies who are dedicated in Calvary Chapel. So the good things that you enjoyed in the year, you finished your course of study, you got a new job, thank God for that. We are happy about that, okay? And we give God yes. We give God the glory. Okay? So in times like those, when things are good, then maybe we don't really question life, its purpose, its fulfillment. And how come, we are born again, but we are not really enjoying the life that we thought we should be enjoying. And so maybe 2019 was challenging. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you had some challenges. Maybe you lost some relatives. And maybe there's that questioning in your heart. So let's try and look at life from God's perspective. How does God see life? So that hopefully it can help us as we also see life. So that as we look at life from His perspective, we don't lose hope, we don't lose courage, and we run the race well until we finish it. So we'll take our core reading today from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 20. But before we get into those scriptures, as I prepared this message about a day or 2 days ago, I searched on the net for one pastor who actually had ministered to me while I was a student, and he had written a book, Why I Am a Christian. Okay? This pastor had lived in one foreign country, and he'd lived from 1925 to 2015, so he died about 3 years ago. And this gentleman was writing that, Why I Am a Christian, at the end of his life. Okay? So he had the opportunity to reflect back on the life he had, the challenges he had gone through, and he was writing this towards the end. Okay? So this gentleman was, by the world's standards, successful. Okay? He was a lawyer. He worked in a law firm in the country that he lived in. Later he became a businessman. Okay, and was successful in that pursuit as well. But at that time, he wasn't born again. Okay, but as a lawyer, he narrates how when he started off, he had come from a poor family. His father had been hardworking, yes, but not really able to make ends meet. Well, barely making ends meet. And so that motivated him to try and succeed so much in life. You know, the goals, the things that men we so much sometimes aspire to. Okay. And so he broke through. He made it as a lawyer, and then eventually he started a business building houses. And he said at that time, lawyers were not allowed to advertise. Okay. Those of you who belong to professions, sometimes professions have those limitations. They don't want you to advertise in order to get business because it's like you're drawing attention to yourself. So, that was in those days. Okay. So what he did is he joined different committees. He volunteered in order to make contacts with people. And he volunteered on church committees, the church of Anglican church where he lived and so on. And so he was able, okay, to meet people. But as time went on, people began to tell him, you know, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. Okay. But he resisted. He narrates having resisted and resisted that for quite a number of years. But eventually, he gave his life to Christ, and he narrates how he preached to his partners, who he worked with, the lawyers, and eventually the business people in the company in which he invested in, which was building houses. And this is a true story. Okay, he actually was very, very successful in New Zealand, and they built so many houses as part of that company. And he narrates as when he had got saved, bringing a Christian perspective to his business. Okay, and one thing which I found very interesting, he said that when people would buy a house from his company, now that they had become Christians, they gave the buyers of the house a what? A Bible. I found that amazing. Okay, you buy a house, and the person selling you a house gives you a Bible. Okay, but we'll come back to that a bit later. But the meaning he found in his life truly came, of course, when he committed his ways to Christ. But it's not that things were perfect, but he was able to have the right perspective, commit his challenges, commit his successes to Christ, finance even his ministry from his business, the travels he had to make, and so on and so on. So that was his life story. So what is your life story? What is it? What is my life story? And how does God look at it? Okay? So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 20, we get a perspective of the way God looks at things. Okay? But before we get into Deuteronomy chapter 8, let's maybe ask ourselves, why are we here? Why are we here on earth? Why? You in that chair. Why is it you? Why are you here? Okay? Of course, the natural, the science, yes, your parents gave birth to you and you're here. Fine. But what does God say about why you are here? So let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians 1:16. We see there, for by him were what? All things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him, or other translations will say, by him and what? For him. So you and me have been created for God. But then, when we go to Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 to 11, Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 to 11, there after the initial parts of that book, where there are messages to the churches in chapters 2 and 3, then the prophetic side of the book comes, and a narration is described there. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever and cast down their thrones before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive what? Glory and honor and power, for thou hast created what? All things. And for thy what? What does your Bible say? For thy pleasure, in this translation it says, they were created. So we were created for God's pleasure. Okay? If you have something that is pleasurable to you, what does that mean? You like it. Maybe a work of art. You've bought it. You've hung it on the wall at your home. It gives you some form of what? Happiness, satisfaction. Okay? So that's what God wants from my life. And from what? From your life. To look from heaven down to your life and say, that is good. Where he is at is what? Is good. Okay? But going to Deuteronomy and reading together from chapter 1, chapter 8, verse 1, it says there, all the commandments which I command you this day, Deuteronomy 8, 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day, shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which you knew not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in your heart that as the man chasteneth his son, so the Lord God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you may dig brass. And when you are eaten and a full, then thou shalt bless the Lord God for the good land which he gives you. But beware that you do not forget the Lord your God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command you this day. And lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and dwell therein, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart lifts itself, well, then their heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt what? Remember the Lord thy God. For it is what? He that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may what? Establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And serve them and worship them. And if it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day. You shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. So coming back to the beginning and looking at the details, this is written at the time of Israel's destiny with God. A particular point has been reached. Now with Israel, you remember in the Bible, chronologically from Genesis, you move on the books. A promise is made to Abraham, okay, about an inheritance of Canaan, okay, the land occupied by the Canaanites. So there's the promise. So Israel first gets a promise, okay? So for your life, there is a promise. God has, the Bible is full of promises for you, okay? So there's a time of promise, okay? But then Israel gets into a time of bondage. You know the story. The story of Joseph, Joseph coming in as a character, Joseph going into Egypt as a prisoner, Joseph's brethren coming, okay? And then they are given a place to settle. And then years pass and another Pharaoh comes in and Israel has multiplied, okay? And the Pharaoh, as the Bible says, he didn't know who Joseph was. That was yesterday, okay? And so now Israel finds themselves in a time of bondage. They are in slavery, okay? And the slavery is hard and it's long, okay? But the promise remains. But the time is not yet. Then following that is the release. You know the story. Moses and Pharaoh and the plagues. And then Israel is released. But the promise is not yet. That is the release from bondage. The promise is not yet. Okay? So there's the release. And then there's the wilderness experience. The 40-year journey. Okay? Which we have begun to read about today. And God indicates his purposes for that time, the wilderness time, the time of proving, the time of testing, okay? And then finally is the time of the blessing, the inheritance by Israel of the promise, okay? So that is, it can be a picture, okay, of life's journey, okay? And maybe you might have had some of these things in your own life, gone through phases where things were difficult. You were in some form of bondage, okay, maybe addictions. And then you got to know Christ, okay? Or you are in a difficult work, difficult job, difficult circumstances, things you didn't seem to be able to break through, okay? And then you broke through, but you may not yet be at that place where God wants to give you his plan of fulfillment for your life, okay? Spiritual fulfillment, your spiritual ministry, but also your physical ministry, your physical blessings and inheritance, okay? So that's Israel. So, looking at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1, he says what? All the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in to possess the land which the Lord sware to your fathers. So, looking at this closely, God's role in this is to give us the what? The commandments. Some of them? No, all of them. Okay? So, all the commandments are given. The things which God has taught us to do, we must do in full. And if God promises, and he says, if you do this, then, surely if we do, then God will perform what he has promised to do. Okay? So, the commandments are given, and God's role as God is to give us the commandments, and his expectation is that we obey. That we are a people that will be obedient, okay, to the things that God is asking us to do, okay? The calling that God has called us to live into or to fulfill, okay? And once we do that, then God does his part. But what does he say that follows after that? He says, once you obey and you do those things, what follows is life, okay? That you may what? That you may live. It's not that the people who are being addressed were not alive. They were alive. So this live that you may live must have a broader meaning. It's not that you may live as a dog lives, as a cat lives, because they live, okay? But as you, called by God, may live a different life, okay? So that you may live, and what? And multiply, okay? We are the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the world. Okay? And the salt preserves society from corruption. The more the Christians, the better the nation. The stronger the nation. If country X or Y has a problem, then the influence of the church, the influence of the Christians, maybe is not felt. Okay? But the other thing is that he wants Israel to multiply physically, because they are going to have to fight physical battles to obtain their inheritance. The Canaanites were on the land, and they had to be fought off physically with spears and swords. It took courage, the message of the previous week, okay? So anyhow, I once listened to one head of state. Okay, there was a meeting somewhere with the finance people, and the governor of the central bank of that country was addressing the head of state and saying, you know what, the population of your country is increasing, okay, and it's increasing very fast, but the economy is not doing so well, okay. That was the governor's turn to speak. So when the head of state came, this is a true story, when the head of state came to speak, he said, I don't care so much about the growth of the population. In fact, that is good. Okay? Because for him, I believe what he was implying, it made his country strong. Okay? The large numbers of people were a source of strength. Okay? It's a biblical principle. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. If you want to have a war with China today, you need to think very, 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 very hard. Okay? Whether you're the US, whether you have nuclear weapons, China can afford to lose 100,000 soldiers on the battlefield per day and keep fighting and go on and on and on. So you have to contend with them. Numbers matter. So in that case, for Israel, numbers mattered. But for you and me, the issue is the multiplication of Christianity is important because, as we've seen, it helps preserve society. Okay? It's good if our country has Christian leaders at every level. People are godly at every level. When you buy a house, okay, the house has been built by a godly person. God gave me and my wife an opportunity, and he gave us an opportunity to get a house, okay, and this was a new house, okay. But after some time in the new house, we began to see this problem, that problem, the tiles getting out, this, the roof has a problem, this is leaking, that, a new house. Now, this Christian man who I'm telling you about said when they got saved, they told their clients that we are a Christian company, and so we are going to do business the right way. And they gave them a Bible. You can imagine the kind of houses they built. You understand? So that's the godliness. That's the multiplication in society God wants. That the Christian presence impacts society. So in Uganda, you call the carpenter, and the carpenter says, you know, you've bought a house, you put in doors, and after some time, the doors begin to curve. And you call the carpenter, and he says, ah, auntie, the timber was wet. You know how they say, auntie. As if they expect you to feel sorry for them. So the timber was wet, now it's dry, and so it's changed its shape. But a door is supposed to be straight. So we hope that if you are a Christian carpenter here, please, when you are selling timber to your clients, make sure it's properly dry. What kind of carpentry did Jesus make? Jesus and Joseph. You understand? So anyway, so that you live, multiply, and go into possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. Okay? Now, if we look again at this portion of scripture, yes, as we mentioned earlier, there's the if then theme, which runs through scripture. Men are given God's standard, and you are told if you live up to it, then this follows. And this is not just Old Testament. Jesus says clearly, no man will see the kingdom of God unless he. So you have to take the step to get salvation. You take that step, the step of faith. You make the confession. Okay? And we see it also in Revelation as Jesus talks to the churches at his new level of the risen Christ. He was warning the churches in Revelation 2 and 3. Huh? To him who overcomes, I will give a white stone. You see? In which will be a new name. There's a need for you to stand in this world, wicked as it might be, and overcome, and then there will be a reward. It's conditional. Okay? There are things that we must do. Okay? So, 2 Chronicles, we see that as well. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Okay, then God promises healing, forgiveness, and that arrangement is seen there as well. So that's what we see from that first verse. The other thing is, if we look again at this Deuteronomy 8:1, the process of learning the commandments of God, ideally, we should do well to learn them and learn them quickly. But sometimes in this life, we take our time to learn what God is trying to teach us. Maybe deliberately, we refuse this, we refuse that, I'll not change this, I'm okay as I am, and this and that. Until like Abraham at 99, God tells, walk before me and be thou perfect at 99. He has had a lifetime before that. God is still expecting a higher standard of his commitment. Okay? And so, we see that in Hebrews 2:1, if we could turn to Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Therefore, let us give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. Or in other translation, it says, lest at any time we should let them sleep. Okay? The things that you have been taught as from the time you got born again up to today, the various lessons, the various principles, the various things of godliness, of holiness, of righteousness that you should commit to as a Christian. Yes, we are saved by grace, but we should not insult the spirit of grace. Okay? So let us give the more earnest heed in 2019 for us to receive God's favor and blessing. Let us do our best, let me do my best, to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have learned, okay? Let's do that, okay? And so, when we move on to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, and thou shalt remember, thou shalt what? Remember all the way in which the Lord thy God led you these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, and to know what was in your heart. whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee, suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. So we see there God calling Israel to what? Remember. Now, it was a long time since the miracles in Egypt. I don't know about you, but I sometimes wish I was living in the days when Moses could do the miracles that were done by his hand. Don't you wish you were around, okay? And you went to a leader and told him, if you don't do it, you understand, God's power was visible. Egypt saw the power of God. The plagues that came on Egypt were very visible and very powerful, okay? But now it was long time past that point, okay? But nonetheless, even as you go through the journey of life, there are things God has taken you through, miracles he has done in your life, things you prayed for and trusted for, which you thought were impossible, which he has brought to pass. Today, as we begin the year, let's remember, as we go through the year, let's remember those things, okay? A few weeks ago, Pastor Kenny asked people to come with testimonies, okay? Those testimonies were given, amazing testimonies the lady gave about miraculous healing, okay, after they prayed for a sick sister. It's good to testify, it's good to tell people what God has done, okay, because God encourages others. But also, it helps you, those things, mark them, those miracles you've seen God do, those impossible situations he's turned around, God wants us to remember. Remembrance builds faith in God, and it builds trust as you go maybe to higher and higher challenges. As you grow in life, Calvary is a young church. Yes, you may be comfortable as young people, but tomorrow your day of responsibility will come. Okay? Because the older people have gone. They've retired. Society will need you to step up. To step up to do what you have to do. Okay? So at that time, the challenges you face at that level may be greater. But you must look back and call to what? Remembrance, the things God has done for you. Okay? The second thing God wanted was humility. Humility was required of Israel and is required of us as Christians. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Okay? And the Bible clearly teaches us to humble ourselves. The duty is our own. Okay? It's not God humble me. We humble ourselves. Okay? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that you'll. Okay, so humility was required. You see, when we are out of danger and we are in a time of abundance and surplus, the fallen nature begins to exalt itself. Okay? And pride comes in. You've succeeded. Things are abundant. Wealth is there. Any problem, you throw money at the problem. Okay? So, it becomes a problem for man, and so the quest for humility is a lifelong thing, okay? And God needs that in the promised land, because Israel are going to move from a time of scarceness, a time of slavery, scarceness, to a time of plenty. And the risk of pride affecting that is real, so God wants humility, okay? So, he says to prove what was in your heart. But surely God, the omniscient God who knows all, knew what was in their heart. He knew it. This proving was for them. So that God tells them, you are a rebellious people. They can't say no because they've seen it. Okay? So in our own life as well, there are things that God needs to clean out of our lives. If God told you are proud, you may say no. That's not correct. You're not judging me right. Okay. But, the other thing about proving what does God want here is God is testing Israel for faithfulness. If you want to prove somebody, you have a new house, a new house help at home, a new employee, okay? The employee has to go through a period of doing what? Proving themselves to you, okay? This is the concept of stewardship. Stewardship is part of the Christian life. What are we in this life stewards of as Christians? What are we stewards of? Okay? If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, what are we stewards of? Okay? Well, let's read that first. Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. So God has given us on this earth, giving us life in 2019, God has given us stewardship of a number of things. Stewardship of life itself, okay? The gift of life that God has given you must be used responsibly, okay? We must use our life responsibly. God has given us made us stewards of the truth, okay? It's our job to propagate the gospel to those that don't believe. The Great Commission has never stopped. Okay? The gospel must be preached to the ends of the earth, and then what? Then the end shall come. The end is not yet. We believe it's soon coming, but it's not yet. So between now and then, that commission remains. Okay? So we are stewards of the truth. We must give the truth to the world that doesn't have it. At our workplace, in our families, at home, okay? Share the truth. The Bible says, I read a certain scripture in Proverbs, I believe it's in Proverbs, it says, I will share your testimonies before kings. Have you read that? Yes. So if you get a call one day from State House, and you are supposed to go there, what are you supposed to tell the head of state? What you have done, what your accomplishments are, what your qualifications are. No, the testimony is what God has done for you. Okay? God may give you that privilege. You may become a minister, you may become a diplomat, I don't know. 2019 is your year, I don't know. God may appoint you the head of KCCA. That job's like the governor of Bank of Uganda. That job gives you access to the king. So when you get there, tell him of your testimonies, the thing the God of Israel has done for you. Because the ordinary people around will not tell him. They will say what they want, they think he wants to hear. Okay? So we are stewards of the truth. Okay? We are also stewards of responsibilities. In this church, still largely a young church, but you still have responsibilities as employees. Many of you are now working. Responsibilities as students. Responsibilities as parents. Okay? As a father, we have responsibilities, the men. As mothers, we have responsibilities, okay? Don't delegate these responsibilities to the maids and you are away most of the time with the pretext that you are working for money. To give your children a better life, okay? Throwing money at your children as a form of upbringing. They have the latest this, they go for holidays, they go for this, they have smartphone. What does a child need a smartphone for, really? Really? Okay, fine. If God, anyway, so I was going to say if God told you to buy it, but I'm not sure about that. Okay, but you get the point. We have responsibilities, and responsibility does not mean that it will be easy. It does not mean it will be easy. Okay, God has blessed me with 4 children, but at some time in the house they shout this. Hey, I mean it's like guys. Calm down. Okay? But that is a responsibility. Bringing up children is, and that's why you should have them when you are young, okay? While you still have the strength to the strength, yes, children of your youth, the Bible talks about that, okay? So the young people in Bridge, we had a bridge last year, and we broke up into groups. They arranged the bridge between the marrieds and the young people. And the issue was to encourage the young people to talk to them, to see what they're thinking about, and encourage them. And I shared with some of the people that I met, my wife, years before we married. And I was sharing with them that this, in the time when we lived as Christians, it seemed to be a natural progression that you'll do this one step, then the next step, you'll finish school, you'll get work, you'll get married. But the young people are like, almost like, well, we are not in a hurry. Okay? Young people, you are in a hurry. Life has timelines. Okay? And that's part of the stewardship of your life. Okay? You don't take too long with some of these decisions. Don't fear them. Don't fear them. Okay? God will go with you to that next step. I remember with my wife speaking to a young lady who was about to get married, and she was so anxious. How will I manage to be a wife? How will I cook the food? So we encourage her, and she's now well married with 4 children. Okay? So anyway. So we are also stewards of resources. Okay? God may give you resources that are in your hand. He may give you the privilege of being the final signatory to something. Resources are going to move. We must be what? Faithful in that regard. And our country has issues with this principle. And yet we are going into an era where we'll have a lot more resources with oil and this and that. And we will need faithful men, faithful women to use those resources faithfully. Stewards who can be faithful to what they have been entrusted to do. But God has also given us talents. Okay? Carpentry. Okay? With dry wood. Okay? and things like that. So all these talents. Remember that as Israel is going, they are going into where? Canaan, the promised land. But they are supposed to drive people out. Okay? And God talks about the fact that they are going to what? Build themselves what? Houses. And not just houses, what? Good houses. So who is going to build good houses if you are not yet faithful in your work? If you just do your work anyhow, what kind of house will you build? Okay? So God wanted faithfulness for order in society. So there are a couple of lessons there in that verse. 8 verse 2. But moving on, we are not to live by bread alone. Our fallen nature really tends us to believe that we should lean on the arm of the flesh. You might have gone through this. Sometimes you've finished school, you have your degree, and then somebody wants to stay, well, someone asks you, well, don't you know somebody who can fix you into a job somewhere? Okay? Now, I tell you, you don't need to know somebody. You need to know what? God. Let God be the one to give you that job. The somebody that fixes you into that job, most times improperly, will tomorrow come with an improper request of you. Can you also do this for me? And now you will be stuck. Okay? I saw that some years ago in my first job somewhere. I can't say where and I can't say who, but somebody gave me an opportunity to work, and before long he said, okay, fine, you've studied in another country, we can make this claim, there's money from the International Organization for Migration, this, that, and that, you do this. No. Okay? So let God rather be the one to open that opportunity. Your job is to pray. Pray and trust. Tell him, God, in the past, you did this for me. A job is nothing for you. Okay? If you are a career person, I have seen this in my life, okay, several times, okay, where people rather come and ask you, do you want this? Can you do this for us? And that is God who has opened the door for you. And when you get in and that improper request comes to the table, you know that God is the one that has put you on that seat. That improper request has to be put aside, okay? So, Jesus, of course, uses that, portion of scripture, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. We are, of course, to use in our Christian life the word. The word should be part of us. As young people, we encourage even old people, all of us as Christians, throughout our walk, the word should be part of us. A chapter a day, if is a good principle. Try and discipline, create that discipline in your life. Read a chapter of the Bible per day, at least a chapter. Okay. So once you do that over a number of years, you get to know the Word, it becomes part of you, and God directs your life. The reason why this is important is there are times the most direct way God speaks to men is here. And that's why the Bible talks about the fact that this book should be at the side of kings, to guide kings in the way they rule, in the way they lead, to guide leaders, okay? The most direct way God speaks is here. We have it. You now have it on your electronic devices. The Bible is accessible, okay? So let's read it in this year. Let's give a more honest commitment to reading the Bible and applying what it says. But also, this is clear that we transform our reliance from things physical to things spiritual. And we see Jesus using this scripture during his temptation. And we encourage you really, as I encourage you and I encourage myself, to continue in that practice of reading the Word. Another principle that we can learn from this portion of scripture is that in this period, God is reminding them of how he has sustained them. In the book of Numbers, the first chapter, there was a census. There was a counting of the people. Okay? People were counted. The leadership was counted. The armies were counted. Okay? And so it was a large number of people that God has sustained through the wilderness. The wilderness is the wilderness. It's not meant for farming and abundance and, you know, and so Israel's passage through the wilderness was miraculous. God is reminding him of that fact. That in this world, as we walk through it, we are going to trust in the supernatural ability, protection, and provision of God, rather than in the things that we can do, rather than in the money that we have, in the qualification that we have, in the family we came from, in the country we come from. We must trust in God as the Almighty Provider, Protector, and the one able to move us through whatever the enemy may throw at us. Okay? So that is a key message in that portion of Scripture. God is reminding them of the fact that in those huge numbers had been sustained miraculously. God provided manna, God provided quails, God provided water, and their shoes waxed not old. Okay? 40 years. Okay? Same pair of shoes. Okay? To change their thinking, the other thing we see here is change their thinking from sight to faith. Now, Israel had spent many years in Egypt. Okay? And Egypt was a place of idolatry. Okay? They had been in Egypt. They had served as slaves. And you know, one thing that is hard to remove from the mind are images. Okay? And that's why as young people, and even old people, be careful what you watch. Be careful what you watch on your device, on your TV, on... You can live without a TV. Do you know that? Can you try it, 2019? You can. You won't die. Okay? But anyhow, you get the point. Okay? You get the point. So the point is that the images the people saw remain, okay? And that's why it's very important as parents for us to be godly. Because children see, they relate to what they see. They see you doing this, they see you doing that, they see you doing the other. And that remains with them. Even though they may get saved, that's why the scripture encourages us after salvation, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. May not take one day. Okay? It may be a long process. And so we need to be careful what we see. So Israel had to be transformed from that mindset and learn and clearly be loyal to the God of Israel and shun idolatry completely. Okay? But the other thing which was important, some writers on this have commented, that it was important, this journey through the wilderness, as a signal to Israel's enemies. You see, people must have asked the question, how did, because they had, if you read the Bible, it's clear that the nations had, that there's this nation of people, Israel. They are coming. Okay? And they had heard of the miracles of Egypt. Even though there was no email, there was no airline that time, but people used to walk back and forth across lands. And the message of what God had done for Israel had gone to other nations. And so the other nations knew the God of Israel. There's a reason why scripture uses that as one of God's titles. The God of Israel. You cannot make a mistake. There's only one Israel. Okay? You understand that? And so the enemies of Israel would know that the battles Israel were fighting against them were ordained of God. Okay? And even up to our modern times, Israel has fought and been victorious in very, very unbelievable circumstances. In the 70s, in the 60s, enemies surrounding Israel, attacking Israel at a time of even holiday, okay? And Israel coming out victorious. Even in our own land, you remember, 1976, okay, Israel coming to Uganda. And so when a head of state hears, the armies of Israel are coming. You know where the scripture says, and his knees smote together? The God of Israel. Okay? So, the point really for us, for you, for me, is that as a Christian, you have who as your God? The God of Israel. Use that name for God. That's the God that you serve. The God that parted the Red Sea, the God that parted the Jordan, the God that struck Egypt with the plagues. He has not changed. He's the same God. That is the God you need to see and help you through 2019. The God of Israel. Okay? Because you have had people saying, yeah, God, and the person speaking maybe is an Indian. Okay? His God is an elephant or something like that. No. The God of Israel is your God. We are not talking about the same God. Okay? So, moving on, the key lessons we see, therefore, in summary from those from that scripture, is that on this journey of ours in 2019, let's trust God to sustain us on our journey. I don't know where you are at in this journey, okay? But wherever you are at on your journey with God, God's plan exists for you. We'll see, God willing, next week, the further details of this scripture. God will sustain you on your journey. God will transform you. His hand on you will be evident. There are things that will happen in your life, which people will ask, but this guy, we thought this guy only had qualification X. How come? I don't know if you've seen that. This job required 15 years of experience. How come, Brother Jack, he left Makere only 5 years ago? You will see that. You will see that in your life. God is not limited by the rules of men. So 2019, trust God for these things. The rules of men are just the rules of men. God is not bound to follow those rules as he seeks to bless you. Okay? As I prepared to this portion of scripture, I was a bit cautious because these scriptures like this have been abused. Okay? And you get into prosperity gospel and this. That's not what we are talking about. That's clearly not what we are talking about. That's not what prosperity gospel is based on, a lie, really. And the lie is really that you can fool God. I mean, you just can't fool God. If you are motivated to come to church to give so that you can get, surely, if there's anyone who can see through that, that's God. Okay? But sometimes the reason maybe why these people appear to be prosperous is maybe, you know, the devil often mixes truth and error. These churches will also teach you good principles. Work hard, wake up early, tithe. Those are good principles, and those things will actually be of benefit to you. But the message that you can try and make God some kind of resource that you can invest in so that you get, you give so that you can get, no, that is not godly. And I thank God for Calvary Chapel, that Calvary Chapel does not subscribe to that teaching. Okay? as Pastor Kenny had shared with us, this world is coming to a close. Okay? I believe it. There are signs, really. Many years ago, as a young Christian, one of the messages that I really liked to share with people was that of the end times. Okay? Because I thought it was easier to get people's attention. Okay? And I shared the end times this, end times that. Okay? And I was sharing with one old person about people being given the mark of the beast and and so on. And at that time, this man was challenging my thinking and saying, this is not possible. It's not possible that every person, even in rural Africa, could be targeted with a mark. But right now, in the poorest of the poorest parts of Africa, everyone is carrying what? And within your mobile phone is a microchip. Okay? And the microchips have begun moving. Okay? In part of my career, I do IT audit, and you get to learn about things like biometrics and things like that. The technology to give you the mark of the beast today is there. To put that implant in your hand or in the forehead is there. These are the times. Okay? I don't know how long it will take. But these are the times. So the point really is that the prosperity gospel cannot sustain you as a Christian. Because whatever you gain, you will live here. Okay? So let us, in 2019, have a greater focus on God, the things God has prepared for us, our spiritual relationship with God, and let God in 2019 be real in a new way in our lives, so that we live the best possible life that we can. Let's close in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us to share. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that we clearly see that you care about us. You have a plan for our lives. No matter what we have gone through in the past year, no matter what challenges, God, we want to trust you in 2019 to bring us through. God, help us to dedicate this year to give the more honest heed to those things you have taught us and live that life that will glorify you and your name. In Jesus' name we prayed.